Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yep, here we are. A special and definitely a guest host. In fact, we enjoy this so much, we'll be doing it again on Monday, on President's Day. And we're sort of a pre-President's Day kind of get-together here, which gives Bobby Mack, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, a four-day weekend. That's not bad. Go Bobby Mack out there trying to keep his golf score in the upper 50s, I believe. All right. It's good to have you aboard this afternoon. And we, of course, have the Ingalls Advantage talk line available for you at 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. And we'll plunge right into that here. At 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Over at the text line here, how can there be an active shooter in Chicago? They have the strictest gun laws. Yeah, well, of course, technically it's in a suburb. It's in Aurora. But there's no place in Illinois that is particularly lenient about guns. So, yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Back to the Ruth Bader Ginsburg thing here. No pics, P-I-C-S of RBG, just unverified claims of a brief glimpse. She's dead. Well, okay, whatever. All righty. You are right, Jimbo. We didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi, and we wouldn't vote for Nancy Pelosi. True enough, but again, of course, the Speaker of the House does not ever have to worry about a national election in that regard. Let's see. Jimbo, in my humble opinion, having to take the wall to court is not that big of a delay. Heck, it's been 2 years already, and we've gotten nothing. Yeah, well, depends on how you define big, I guess. I mean, I cannot imagine that in the courts, maybe by the end of this year, unless for some reason this is expedited. But, of course, the irony of that is that if this were to be expedited, it would be admission by the court that expedited it that it really was, in fact, an emergency. So you couldn't very well have a court saying, because this is an emergency, we've expedited our ruling to rule that it is not an emergency. Be a little hard to do here. Let's see. A texter says, I say these people are seeking asylum and should be legalized. Nancy says it's not about the votes. I haven't actually heard her address the charge that this is about votes, but in any event, this texter says he would let them in on one stipulation, because they broke the law, a punishment must be put in place so they can never vote in any election or collect an entitlement during their lifetime. Well, that would be nice. Of course, if you let them in and you make them citizens, then by definition they have the right to vote. And only, I guess, committing a felony, which unfortunately this isn't, would deny them that right to vote. So I can sympathize with what you're suggesting. The little problem there, of course, being that it would not be allowed by law. I don't. The part about the entitlements, that could be allowed. Yeah. Let's see here. Blah 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 blah. Jimbo, the funding bill Trump just signed is so great that the Democrat senators that are running for president voted against it. Some did, some did not. Amy Klobuchar of Ohio voted for it. Sherrod Brown of Ohio voted. Klobuchar, I guess, is from Minnesota. She voted for it. Sherrod Brown of Ohio voted for it. Bernie Sanders voted for it. Others, Kamala Harris and some others, voted against it. They were all over the map on this particular bill. So, let's see. Is this Radio 106.3? Yes. Yes, it is. You got all kinds of stuff on the text line here. Let's see. Jimbo from Rick, upstate region captain of the South Carolina Convention of States, the great state of Arkansas, acting out of their state motto, the people rule, became the 13th state to pass the Convention of States resolution using the tools that the framers gave us, Article 5 of the Constitution, to rein in the madness of the federal government and return power to we the people. Join us, says Rick, the 27,000 all-volunteer force that is the South Carolina Convention of States project in the race to become the 14th state fighting for the soul of our constitutional republic. Okay. Good idea that if South Carolina would do that, that would be a very good idea. Okay. Good for you. Go, Rick. I've talked about that many times on the radio. You're never going to get most of the constitutional amendments that we need in this country unless you go through this particular method. The Congress, it will block most constitutional amendments if they get a chance to have a say. And, of course, that's the way we've always amended the Constitution up till now, is by a two-thirds vote of the House and a two-thirds vote of the Senate as the first step. So the Constitution of the Convention of States, Article 5 Convention, would circumvent Congress, and that's a good thing. Okay, it's now 4:13, Dan in Greer. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Jimbo. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to mention this judgment fund that Obama used to send several or a few billion dollars to Iran. I had never heard of the fund until Andy McCarthy discussed how he got the money today on the news. And I just wondered why Trump couldn't have just used the money or some money from that judgment fund. I don't know how much money would be in there, rather than declaring a national emergency.
Well, I don't know about this judgment fund, honestly. I know about,
I didn't either.
The money in the bill that's been passed by Congress and signed by the president. I know about the money that you can get from projects already appropriated under the various laws that allow a national emergency declaration. I know about the money suggested by Senator Ted Cruz from expropriated assets of drug kingpins. And but this one, I must confess, I hadn't heard about this, so I don't know.
Well, I hadn't either. I just wanted to mention it's been a mission of mine to find out where this money had come from and how Obama got $3 billion.
What particular judgment was it? I mean, it's not
I
just
have
a
no
fund
idea.
Sitting around.
Andy referred to it as the judgment fund, and I'm not sure what the red tape is to get that money, but I just wanted to ask about that. And the other thing I wanted to say, and I'll hang up, is it's interesting how these migrants, particularly in Europe, are coming to Western nations. You know, we have migrants now coming to the United States. The migrants are coming to Europe. They're only coming to Western nations, and it's interesting how it's happening on both ends. And
well, you know, they're only coming to such nations because they're the only ones who will let them in. And,
right.
And what's ironic is that we offer the freedom to move about and the like, and of course the first thing they want to do when they get there is to immediately change things and make it like they were back in the old country. So they're kind of idiotic.
And Jimbo, I just
want
to say one more thing. I think we're going to end up absorbing these people whether we like it or not, and that's all I'd like to say.
Well,
thank you.
I appreciate your call, and I would love to say you're wrong, but I'm not so sure. I've found the story about this fund that Andrew McCarthy wrote about. I'll talk about that when we come back. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, it's now 4:15. Yeah, good to have you with us today. Now 4:21 here at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. And, of course, we were talking with Dan in Greer. We'll get to our next call here in a second. But he was referring to this so-called judgment fund, this ransom fund. That was a $1.7 billion fund never explained by the Obama administration. This was 2.5 years ago. So why don't we use that money? We don't know how much money was in the fund. We don't know if it was all given to the Iranians. I mean, I don't know. It's worth looking into, but there certainly are no answers by virtue of the fact that we're told nothing whatsoever about it. So that takes care of Dan and Greer. To John L. in Pickens. Hello, John L., and good afternoon. Do I have the right name, John L.?
John L., that's it. I listened to Patrick Gentry's interview of the drag queen story hour, Queen Riley Hunty. Now, it was posted on 106.3's Facebook page, and when I was listening to it, I thought I was listening to a liberal mainstream reporter talking. Gentry didn't even ask any of the hard questions that needed to be asked. In fact, he acted like he was Riley's best friend. He even sounded like he was coaching Riley. Patrick actually said to Riley during the question, and he said, "I know that you're not there to scare kids or parents, and that you're just there to read the kids." It was just very concerning to me, especially the fact that they haven't asked Presley Stutz or Taylor Cox to be interviewed like this drag queen was. And this drag queen actually said that we were nasty people. Well, I'd say Riley's pretty nasty because he actually threatened to sabotage my Verizon account since he works for Verizon. Not to mention these drag queen supporters known as the Greenville Sisters who dress up like nuns. They have been so threatening to most of the people that are against this drag queen story when they comment on Facebook. And something needs to be done. I mean, there needs to be another interview that that Patrick does with one of the organizers to be fair and balanced.
Well, as I gather, originally there was a cancellation of this drag queen story time, and then now it's been brought back. Although for the life of me, I fail to see exactly why. This is at the Five Forks Library, and I fail to see why it was even brought back in the first place. I mean, go ahead.
It's deviant behavior is being promoted and celebrated, and it's wrong, especially when you're talking about underage children. I mean, we have movie ratings and things like this, but yet we're promoting deviant behavior to young.
Well, matters of overt sexuality have no place in dealing with young people. And so, Janelle,
exactly.
A short answer is yes, I certainly see your point and appreciate your thoughts. It's 25 now, past 4 o'clock. Taylor is in Cox. Hello, Taylor. Never mind. It's hard to read the cryptic little notes that are passed to me sometimes. Okay, well, anyway, back to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. And, texter says, the sheriff's press release on the drag queen debacle said, as a reminder, state law prohibits the wearing of a mask to conceal one's identity. I'll try to decipher our text line, which is not always the easiest thing to do, but suffice it to say that after it was canceled, it was brought back on, and for reasons that would totally escape me, I must say. Okay. We have Jimmy in Easley now. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, bud. Sometimes we need to take a lesson from Martin Luther King and what he did. Uh-huh. The only way that this is going to change is we the people take to the streets, because who we electing, they worried about their own pocketbooks and getting reelected, so we're not going to be able to do. Now, I'm with Trump, but that has nothing to do with it. It is time that we, the people of this country, me and you and everybody else, take to the street and march downtown Greenville, march downtown Easley, and take back our country.
Well, you know, marching is nice, and you have the constitutional right to do that, but at the end of the day, you will have marched and you will have eaten up some shoe leather, and maybe if there are enough people marching, you'll have gotten some coverage, and other than that, nothing else will change. The only way things change is through the political process. And I mean, well, I'll grant you that marching will make you feel better, Jimmy, but it's not going to change anything.
I spent 4 years in two of them in Vietnam, man.
I spent one there myself. Okay.
And give it away. That's what we're doing. It's just and these people are not. We elect them. They get up there and they vote the way they want to.
But then again, that's our job to vote them out if they're not doing what we want them to do.
They got too much money.
Money does not answer every single issue. The fact is that people have money for campaigns only for the purpose of persuading voters. If enough voters do not like somebody, then those voters can throw that person out.
It's beyond me that it's illegal for them to come across. But then the law says one way and then does something else.
If you're talking about people breaking the law, I'm afraid I'm not sure which law you're referring to here. I guess you're talking about politicians. Are you talking about the border law?
I'm talking about it's illegal to come in our country unless we let you.
And you're talking about violations of our immigration laws. Well, that ought to be the case. I would agree.
But then they try to give them rights. You don't have American rights unless you're American. You don't have United States rights unless you're a citizen.
That's true. Country. There are a lot of rights that are ascribed to people who break into this country who do not belong. Said rights do not belong to those people. You're quite correct. That's absolutely true. And I sympathize with you. And as I say, you know, a march, that's fine. But ultimately, marches are only to attract attention to issues. And until you get these people voted out of office, you're not going to be able to make any changes. And a march, again, eats up shoe leather. And I'm afraid that's about all it accomplishes. I appreciate your thoughts, though, Jimmy. And I thank you for your service. And 1 year was enough for me in Vietnam. But I appreciate you doing double. Jimbo for Bobby Mack, it's 429. Yeah, we're still legendary here, or working on it anyway. I'll have to have that listed, I suppose, in the Yellow Pages under Legends or something. Anyway, the time now is 23 before 5 at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, by gum. And there is Katie on her cell phone out there to give us some thoughts this afternoon. Hello,
hey,
Katie.
Buddy.
Welcome.
Hey, this is last week's rant that should have happened.
Uh-huh.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
We went to a funeral in mid-January, and I called the widow a week ago, Friday morning.
Yeah.
And we were talking, and because I was an insurance agent,
right.
I asked her how she was getting her proceeds, and she goes, he doesn't have any life insurance. And I shut my mouth up and moved on to another topic while I am screaming. And so I'm going to scream at everybody that does not have life insurance. If you work and you have insurance at your job, it will go away when you leave your employment. Okay? It's just the nature of the beast. You can't afford it because it's at attained age and most people retire when they're old like me.
Uh-huh.
That all being said, please get something permanent. Please get whole life. Please get universal life, but something, and make it yours, and get your bills paid off before you pass. This family is left upside down on bills. They're left with a mortgage. Yeah, she does have a 401k. She doesn't even know how much that's going to be, and she can't afford health insurance because she's 5 years younger than him, and Medicare isn't going to kick in.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just on a rant right now. I could also rant about Nancy Pelosi and a couple other things, but I won't.
Well, why not? I mean, if we're picking random topics, I mean, I suppose
I'm
we...
I'm totally off the wall today, but I really am literally begging anybody out there that doesn't have life insurance to please contact their agents and do something positive for them.
Or contact an agent, since many people, I suppose, have no form of insurance whatsoever. If you don't have life insurance, you probably don't have much in the way of insurance.
God.
Maybe auto insurance, but be that as it may. Okay, good. Good point, Katie. Yes, people should definitely have life insurance, especially if they're earning income and paying for a family's expenses. Good point. I would concur. So, fair enough. All right, 20 minutes now before 5 o'clock at 106.3 WORD, where the Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. We'll get back to the text line here in just a moment. But there is one other thing that the president could have considered as regards leverage to get money for the border wall. And that would be an option that has to do with sequestration. So this would be shifting the debate pretty much to a place where he has some real leverage. The threat of a sequester to force the Democrats to give him his border barrier. Now, in 10 months' time, if Congress fails to act, an automatic sequester will kick in, which would reduce federal spending in 2020 to levels that Congress and President Obama set in the Budget Control Act of 2011, a long time ago. Congress agreed to lift those spending caps for 2 years in 2018, increasing both defense and non-defense discretionary spending above sequester levels by several billion dollars each. But that deal runs out the end of the year. If Congress does not lift the caps by December, then automatic $55 billion across-the-board cuts to domestic discretionary spending would take place. The defense spending would be cut by $71 billion. I don't consider this a very palatable option, quite frankly, but the fact is that it is there. It's another tool that he could possibly use. Democrats will not fear another shutdown, certainly, if it had come to that, but they will not readily sacrifice $55 billion for domestic spending, because that's what Democrats do. They wallow in domestic spending, and they would not sacrifice $55 billion for all of their little pet domestic projects just to deny the president his $5.7 billion for a physical border wall. If anything, Democrats probably want to use their House majority to demand significant increases in all kinds of domestic spending. So if they were to deny the president his wall in December, that would lead to some severe cuts, and Democrats would hardly have grounds on which to complain, since the president would simply be following the terms of a budget deal that a Democratic Senate passed and a Democratic president signed into law. Now, the defense cuts were intended as a deterrent to conservatives, who know that they would be potentially disastrous for U.S. national security. The president, well, we'll see what his priorities are in this regard. He wants the wall, and he may be willing to swallow temporary defense cuts to inflict sufficient pain on the Democrats to get it. It's not something I would recommend, but I merely note that there is a big toolbox here. A big toolbox, and the president has lots of tools at his disposal. Now, the notion of grabbing all of this money that has been appropriated from, or expropriated, I should say, from various drug lords, El Chapo may be the latest example. His attorney says that it's a pipe dream to suggest that El Chapo has $14 billion in assets. I don't know if it's a pipe dream, really. He's got a lot. He's got money on that order, which is to say that he has money on the order of what it would take to pay for what this entire controversy has been about. The key is getting our hands on it, and then, of course, seeing to it that it's spent in the appropriate and very ironic way. That would be, I think, funny as all get out if El Chapo's billions were used to help buttress our southern border security. But not all of it's available. And getting it out of other countries, from other sources and the like, that would be tricky as all get out. So no matter what course the president takes, he's going to face opposition. The national emergency, he'll face opposition congressionally, including some Republicans. He'll face opposition in the courts, although I think he'll prevail eventually. The expropriated funds from drug dealers, that's just not going to be easy to do. Any way he goes, it's going to be tough. All right? More to come. Stay with us. Jimbo for Bobby Mack. It's now 4:45. Yes, it is I, or whatever. I'm glad you're with us today, and it's time to wrap up this week. But we're not quite done yet. No, we've got a ways to go here, as it is now 10 minutes before 5 o'clock on this Friday afternoon, and time for us to check in with Mike in Greenville. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
That woman who called in telling people to buy whole life insurance and...
Yeah.
And what was the other one... What was the other type of life insurance you were talking about?
I wasn't taking notes. It was kind of what you might call an abrupt departure from anything else we were talking about. But yeah. I remember she did mention whole life. Okay.
Worst waste of money you can do in your life.
Okay.
On something that's legal. if you're 25 years old, you get $1 million term life insurance policy. You have that go to your estate so that you don't have it go to a person. That way they don't have an incentive to kill you. And, well, you always want to be worth more alive than dead.
I would agree. Okay, yeah.
All right. And throw all the money you would have put into a whole life policy or one of those other rip-off life insurance policies that they try to sell you, pour that into an aggressive mutual fund, and by the time you're 55 years old, you'll have more money than the life insurance will pay out, and you can get rid of the life, let your life insurance go away like I did.
Well, let me ask you this. Are you in favor of anything that is commonly sold as life insurance, or would you just simply favor other forms of investment?
Term insurance. Life insurance is not an investment.
Well, I know, but are you in favor? You said you preferred an aggressive mutual fund. That's a form of investment.
But anyway,
I guess we're into a primer here on life insurance, so we're talking whole life versus term life. Why not? Next hour we'll have a show on growing vegetables. Yeah. But anyway, go right ahead, Mike, and you've got me. I must confess, I couldn't even tell you what kind I've got. But anyway, what about it?
Well, no, if you're young, you can't afford term insurance if you're old like I am.
Right.
But if you look at how much the same policy will cost you, whole life versus term life,
right,
and you take the difference in that monthly premium and you pour that into a good mutual fund,
right,
and then you project that out over 30 years, you're way ahead of the game. And if you're so unlucky as to not make it 30 years, you have the $1 million life insurance policy plus the investment account.
Well, now, I would assume that life insurance companies, when they take your premiums, I mean, they don't just stick it away in a tin can in the backyard. They invested it, right?
Right.
In a way, an insurance company is a lot like a load mutual fund. That is to say, you are in by proxy, you're making an investment in stocks, but you're also paying a middleman, in this case, the insurance company, right?
But the difference is with life insurance, you don't get any of that stock.
Yeah, that's right. You do not. You get no equity whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like Social Security. If you run your Social Security numbers, my Social Security account when I retired at age 60, when I collected at age 62, would have been worth $1.8 million if it had been in the Standard & Poor's Index Fund. Instead, I get $2,200 a month instead of 5% of $1.8 million a year. It's theft. And
are you in favor of privatizing Social Security, such as they've done
absolutely
in the nation of Chile?
I think that the rule should be that the money be invested in mutual funds or an invest investment account determined by you and your employer. And everybody says, well, you have disability insurance. Well, disability insurance for a 25-year-old is like $30 a month or something. It's dirt cheap. It's a lot cheaper than Social Security has been. I mean, and they were never supposed to tax Social Security. They were never supposed to take the money out of Social Security, but they did. And then they come out and tell you that you should put all your money into a Roth IRA because they're never going to tax a Roth IRA.
Well, for those who don't know, that is a type of account set up specifically to be tax exempt up till the time of retirement. Is that right?
It's tax exempt totally.
Oh, totally. See, okay.
On a Roth IRA, it's after tax money up front.
Okay.
And then supposedly, when you retire, all the money you take out will be tax free. Mm-hmm. But that's what they told us about Social Security until 1960, whenever it was. Yeah. And they also said that Social Security money was in a lockbox and could not be used for anything but Social Security. Then the Vietnam War came along, and Johnson, with the second largest majority in the House and Senate in the history of the country behind Barack Obama, they decided that they were going to raid Social Security so they could have guns and butter. 1966, I think it was.
Yeah. So, yes,
So I don't trust the government to not look at the trillions of dollars that are going to be in a Roth IRA in a few years and say, you know, we could sure put that money to good use.
Even though it was sold as being tax exempt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Social Security money paycheck was after tax money. You're paying taxes on it twice.
Sure. Well, that's certainly true. That's certainly true.
You know, I don't trust the government to do anything much, to be honest with you.
Well, you're probably very wise not to place a great deal of trust in your dear Uncle Sam.
Like,
that's a good
point. When I retired, I didn't trust my employer to keep sending that monthly check. I took the cash buyout. I didn't trust him to do that.
Right. Well, I can certainly understand where you're coming from. So, I mean, with a mutual fund, at least, of course, you don't have to worry about investing yourself. I mean, the idea of trying to, quote, play the market, I'm simply not prepared to devote my entire life to reading Standard & Poor's and the Wall Street Journal. I've got better things to do with my life. But a mutual fund, yeah, I can live with that.
Put your money in a mutual fund and when my wife was working, she signed, and they started a 401k. I convinced her to sign up for the maximum. And a few years later, they had a meeting about the 401ks, and somebody saw that hers was worth over $100,000. And
we're gonna wrap on that note. That is quite informative, and we appreciate Mike's offerings and the previous caller as well. If you're, you know, at my level, you think that a 401k is your mother-in-law's bra size. So, it's, you know, it's easy to be confused about this sort of thing. Anyway, we've got more to come. 1-800-347-1063. And, of course, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, Jimbo for Bobby Mack. And we're coming up on 4 minutes now before 5 o'clock.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.